Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome to the show. It's Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Wes Goldberg, and I'm here, as always, with David Ramil. All you do is catch lobs, David.
Well, that's the strength of my game, man. What do you want me to do? You want me to change what I do best? I mean, look, if I continue to get recognition for it, I'll take it. But you're right. You're far better a podcaster than I am.
Wow. Thank you. Yeah. I don't think it's true. So we're talking about Hassan. I'm mentioning this because of Hassan Whiteside's interesting comments. Combative comments to DeAndre Jordan?
Yes.
So the Miami Heat, their next game is Friday night against the Clippers. And when he was asked about DeAndre Jordan by reporters, Hassan White's specifically about guarding DeAndre Jordan and, you know, if he compares himself to him at all. And Whiteside says, no, he catches lobs. I shoot jumpers, catch lobs, block shots. I do a lot. He just catches lobs. Those are fighting words.
Oh, most definitely. And, you know, the lead of the story, you know, from Tom DeAngelo points out that clearly, you know, DeAndre Jordan is a very well-recognized player. You know, he's got some fame with the Clippers. You know, he was Olympian this past summer, a two-time member of the league's all-defensive first team, and he was first-team All-NBA, whereas Whiteside really hasn't gotten that kind of recognition. So there's clearly a little bit of, a little antagonism there, at least on Whiteside's parts. I'm not sure that Jordan really cares one way or the other about Whiteside, but clearly Whiteside does make that comparison, although he said something to the opposite effect, saying that he doesn't really consider Jordan a true opponent, that he's really just competing against himself, in which case he also referred to himself in the third person.
Might as well read that, right? So he says, yeah. I kind of just compete against myself. I don't really pay attention to any other centers. I'm still just trying to beat 12 blocks, his career high. I don't see any other centers. I just compete against Whiteside every day. I'm going to try to outdo myself last game. Speaking about himself, as you mentioned, in the third person, that's always a good sign of a sane person.
Yeah, sanity, insanity notwithstanding, I think it just makes him look like an asshole, to be honest with you. I think any time that you talk about yourself in a third person like that, clearly there's a huge ego in place. And I know that you and I have talked about this on a number of occasions, about that being a requirement of players just to get into the NBA, just because you have to have that kind of confidence that borders on arrogance. And fans don't want to see it, but I guess it's you know, a necessary part of becoming a player. But at the same time, manifesting in reference and third person references like that, I'm not on board with that. I got to be honest with you. It kind of sickens my stomach.
Well, look, it's hard to take things out of context, right? But
this is pretty clear context, though.
Exactly, right? Okay, so we weren't there to hear Whiteside say this, but yeah, you're right. The context is pretty clear here. I mean, there's another quote. He goes on to say, it doesn't matter who I'm guarding. I just come out here and play. He catches lobs, he reiterates. He catches lobs. And then this is the fiery part, which I really don't like. He continues and says, he has CP3 as a point guard. So if you're Goran Dragic, you're like, dude, the hell?
It's not a good look. It is not a good look. I mean, I know a lot of people out there in Heat Twitter are kind of sick about the debate regarding Whiteside's personality. You know, there have been the comments that were recently made public from an NBA scout saying that he has no motor. And while that might have been overstating things to some degree, there are issues with Whiteside and his personality that you simply cannot ignore. Whether you just like him because you're a Heat fan, because you love his blocks, because you love him flexing, because you love his post-game quotes, what have you. You know, you might like the personality, but there are things there that are clearly, I don't know what word to use, to be honest with you. I can't say bad because that's a pure judgment call, but alarming, let's say. This kind of He's not necessarily a very polished speaker. Clearly, the third person reference is indicative of that. On top of that, he also throws his point guard, the best player on the team, way under the bus in comparison to CP3. And obviously, CP3 is a much better point guard. He's the best point guard in the league and one of the best of all time. But that's not to say that his relationship with Dragic is a bad one. Dragic would toss lobs, and as you pointed out before we went on the podcast, it'd be a lot easier to toss those lobs if Whiteside was setting a decent screen for him.
Absolutely, and it's... Look, I appreciate the underlying sentiment here that he doesn't care who he's guarding, he doesn't care who he's playing against, he's just going to do what it is he does. And if that were the extent of... If that were the extent of these comments, I'd be all in. He's like, it doesn't matter who's in front of me, I play against me. I'm always, like, I'm my only barrier, blah, blah, blah. If that were the situation, that would be fine. But the fact that he kind of slanders DeAndre Jordan here, says he only catches lobs, which is not true whatsoever. Did the Clippers run plays for him? No, they famously do not run plays for him. The Dallas Mavericks only almost signed DeAndre Jordan because they said that they would run plays for him.
Right.
Whiteside is sort of right when he says he just catches lobs, but it's like not he doesn't just do that. He's a much better defender than Whiteside is, first of all. He can defend guys on the perimeter. He's more mobile. He doesn't chase blocks. And as we see right now with Whiteside, he says, I'm still trying to beat 12 blocks. It's like, you shouldn't be trying to beat 12 blocks. You should be trying to prevent as many people from scoring at the rim as possible. It shouldn't matter if it's one block or 12 blocks, as long as they're not scoring. And so... Right. You know, is it nice for him to have short-term goals? Sure, but it's... I just feel like he said a lot of the wrong things here, and it does really make me question, at least, where his priorities are,
right.
What his mindset is, and right. That, to me, is the issue here.
Yeah, I mean, look, we've talked about it, you know, the stat chasing, you know, and this, I think, is part of that, you know, his statement about the 12 blocks. It's like... You know, it's not about the number of blocks per game. It's about being that rim block, that rim protector, that deterrent from other people scoring. And I know that the numbers indicate that he is doing that to some degree, although I think those have tapered off somewhat over the last few games, clearly. But at the same time, again, because, you know, there have been injuries, there are a number of key perimeter defenders out, and so players are going to get to the rim with more ease. But at the same time, he has to continue to do what's necessary in order to gain wins, not gain stats. And that's something that he doesn't seem to understand. And I understand why the piece comes out, because it makes good copy. It gets people to read. It incites a little interest in the game that might otherwise not be particularly interesting, with Miami's record being what it is and its lack of big personality or big names. But at the same time, it just seems like it's a dangerous game for Whiteside to be playing. And I know this goes back, his animosity towards the Clippers goes back a number of years. In his first matchup against the Clippers back in 2015, he, you know, well known, he called out Doc Rivers for not extending a camp invitation to him at any point. He went on and had a really big game against the Clippers that day in a Miami win. But at the same time, that was a roster that had Dwayne Wade, that had Chris Bosh, that had, you know, Luol Deng, et cetera. It was a much more talent-laden roster than the one that we currently have on the Miami Heat roster. So I think... you know, he has to be a little bit more careful about his comments. And then, as we saw when we were looking at his statistics against the Clippers last season, he did not play particularly well. So for a guy who wants to say that he's had, or that he's a better player than DeAndre Jordan, that was not evidenced by his performance last season.
Yeah, let's look at that a little bit. So that first game you mentioned where he had that animosity versus Doc Rivers, and that's the after mm-hmm. that game he spoke about. That was one of his breakout games. 23 points, 16 rebounds, 2 blocks, 2 steals in a win. I mean, it was a huge game against the Clippers. In that same game, DeAndre Jordan had just 4 points and 6 rebounds.
Correct.
Completely outplayed him. Backed up his bite, so to speak. His, his future bite, I guess. I don't know. But last season, not so great. In 2 games against the Clippers, in that first game, DeAndre Jordan didn't play. But that was on January 13th of last season, last season. 10 points, 11 rebounds, 3 blocks and assists. Not great, not bad, but not great, especially when DeAndre Jordan's not playing. And in the next game when DeAndre Jordan did play, 10 points and 10 rebounds, no blocks, no steals, no assists. DeAndre Jordan in that game, 9 points, 11 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 blocks. So I would probably give the edge to DeAndre Jordan in that game. The only thing that he was shy of was 1 point. And that was it. Otherwise, he was better in all other categories. And so it looks like to me, DeAndre Jordan and Whiteside, they don't necessarily thrive when they're playing against each other.
Right.
They almost sort of maybe cancel each other out. Yeah. But these comments are not going to make DeAndre, like, the Clippers are not going to take this kindly, right? This is what we call bulletin board material.
Absolutely. Just to even mention a notoriously angry player like Chris Paul that is always looking for perceived slights, one that's, you know, has antagonized his own teammates throughout his career, is very, very, very driven and hates to lose. Like, he's talked about it on J.J. Redick's podcast, you know, specifically saying that the joy of winning is less to him than the pain of losing. Like, this is just a guy who does not want to lose. And for this, this is just added incentive for a guy who really doesn't need much at this point. But, you know, these players, as we've talked about on other occasions, they're looking for these kinds of things to fuel them throughout that 82-game season. And there's Whiteside serving it up on a silver platter. And to go back to your previous point about the cancellation of the both players, the bigger point to me and all that is the fact that it's one thing for Jordan not to put up huge numbers, but Jordan doesn't have to because of the team that he plays on. For Whiteside, he has to have a better understanding of what he is and who he is. It's not just about the numbers. It's having an overall impact. And we need him to be a more productive player because, again, there's a lack of talent on this team. But it's also about playing effectively and making sure that the team wins at all costs. And that's something that seems to be missing from his understanding of his role and the game that comes up on Friday.
And there's this other kind of thing I've been noticing lately. He says, I'm still trying to beat 12 blocks. I mentioned maybe to you privately, I don't remember if I said this on the podcast, but a few days ago, earlier this week, he mentioned that, you know, it was after that Cleveland game, so I guess this last weekend or whatever, mm-hmm. where he was talking about, I'm trying to do everything I can. Spoelstra came out and said we need him to dominate at both ends, and he's like, I'm doing everything right. I can. You know, I get the hook shots that I want or something. It's like, between him thinking that the hook shot is a good shot, between him thinking that blocks account are like the end-all be-all of defense, I have real concerns because maybe he would be better at these things. And for him to say something like DeAndre Jordan, who is a two-time all-defensive first team player, was all-NBA last season. Whiteside hasn't even sniffed that kind of success. The best he has is all second team, mm-hmm. all defensive second team last year. And so DeAndre Jordan is a guy who gets more respect because of his overall impact, even if they're not in the box score. He gets more respect in the league. He's a more well-rounded player. There's no doubt about that. So instead of slighting DeAndre Jordan and saying all he does is catch lobs and he's got CP3 as a point guard, so it makes it easy for him, he should be looking at DeAndre Jordan as a role model, and he's not. He clearly already thinks he's better, and that worries me as far as his development.
Yeah, undoubtedly. I don't know. It's just, it's a frustrating topic, and I think you can tell in listening to our voices that it's a source of frustration there because, you know, it's a delicate balance between trying to slight a player like Hassan, who is somewhat entertaining, although that gets a little frustrating at times and a little over the top. And you don't want to just bash him on repeated occasions, but it's just his overall lack of understanding and how to communicate effectively. It's a very dangerous game he's playing, and I don't think he understands that. I think he just thinks that he can go out there. I wonder, you know, we've seen players like this in the past. I don't think that Whiteside necessarily fits his category, although there's the potential there. Would he feel happy about having a 23-20-5 night? You know, if he had 23 points, 20 rebounds, or 20 rebounds and 5 blocks, and Miami still wound up losing by 10 or 15, would he still be, you know, comfortable? Would he just say, well, I did everything I could, so it's not really on me? That's a lack of
understanding. Stark contrast to somebody like Karl Anthony Towns, who could put up 30 points and 19 rebounds in a night.
Still takes the blame, yeah.
Yeah, and still just, yeah. You know what? I can't say for sure, but with the evidence that we have, I would say, yeah. If he put up 23 and 20 in the Heat, like 26 and 22 last night, right, against the Pacers.
Right.
And let's say the Heat lose that game. It was only like a 3-point game for a while there.
Right.
I think he's fine with it. He's like, look, I did everything I could do. Maybe Wayne Ellington should hit more shots or something like that, you know, or maybe Dragic should hit more shots. And what he has to understand is, well, set better screens for Dragic. Set better screens for your teammates. And, you know, look, I don't really mind when these players are hounded by the media all the time, right? So they're gonna say dumb shit sometimes. Like, it's just gonna happen. But it's becoming too much of a trend with Whiteside. And it would be one thing if, like, okay, Draymond Green plays for the Warriors, maybe you heard of him. He says dumb shit all the time. He says he feeds opponents bulletin board material. It's less that he could back it up, but it's also that he plays on a team with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, and this season with Kevin Durant. He doesn't have to. The team's not built around him. He's like a personality. He's not this. A role player is almost like kind of not giving him enough credit, but the team's not built around him. So in essence, he's a role player. Right. If Whiteside weren't the best player on this team, and if the team wasn't frankly looking at him for leadership, which as the best player on the team, you kind of have to. You have to have some sort of leadership abilities. It'd be one thing if this team had, you know, an all-star level shooting guard, an all-star level point guard, a Chris Bosh on the team, something like that where, okay, you say dumb stuff, we'll pull you aside, guy, and say, you know what, you probably shouldn't have said that, but, you know, you did, so go out and have a huge game for us. But, you know, the target's going to be squarely on him now. And when he says things like this, it puts the whole team in a really bad spot.
Yeah, yeah. And again, it's understanding what he's supposed to be doing, understanding the role of that he plays on this team. And look, there was a recent comparison there that I think you and I were talking about before the podcast about, you know, Jordan, Whiteside, and Gobert. And one of the things that he pointed out in this comparison was the fact that, you know, Whiteside isn't a very good defensive presence because he's not the vocal leader that the other two are defensively. And if Whiteside's going to take the kind of pride that he seems to take as far as his ability to block shots, there's more to it than just blocking shots. It's calling out switches. It's calling out when the screen's coming. It's things along that line and being a general rim protector and deterrent, not necessarily chasing those blocks as we've seen from him on past occasions. And that's it's just a real big concern of mine, and I don't know why you would go out of your way to call out a guy like Jordan, you know, just because you had one dominant game against him 2 years ago shouldn't give you the kind of carte blanche to just say whatever you want against a player who's, I think, generally regarded as one of the better defenders and better centers in the league.
Yeah, like you said, it puts the Heat in a really bad spot here, and speaking of bad spots, if you don't want to be in a bad spot with your fantasy basketball team.
Nice.
Right? You like that segue? Oh, yeah. Nice. Nailed that. Locked On Fantasy Basketball, hosted by our guy Jason Lloyd, does a tremendous job. If you're not listening to this podcast already, you're one of the few people that aren't, and it's putting you at a disadvantage in your fantasy basketball league. Locked On Fantasy Basketball is it's a resource for you. Listen to it, learn from it. You'll be better in your fantasy basketball league. And don't forget, while you're subscribing to Locked On Network Podcasts, subscribe to our boss's podcast because he makes us say these things. Locked On NBA, hosted by our boss, David Locke. I mean, he's had great guests on that show. I mean, every time he publishes a show, it's a must listen. So subscribe so you can listen. I mean, it's that simple.
I do want to point that out. I mean, I know it's not necessarily germane to what we were discussing, but I saw a comment about somebody who was listening to our podcast. So first of all, thank you very much for listening. But secondly, they said, you know, we don't want to hear about other podcasts. And I can understand that because Locked On Heat is clearly the best podcast, not just in the network, but in all of the planet Earth.
Of course.
But on top of that,
we don't even have CP3 for a point guard.
That's right. All I do is catch lobs, and we're still the goddamn best podcast. The point being that, you know, I think it does behoove you as a fan, not just of the Heat, but also of basketball in general, to kind of listen in occasionally. And there are some great personalities out there as far as the players and as far as the people that cover them and broadcast about them. And that's we're lucky to be part of a great network of those kinds of high quality personalities. And so, yeah, it does help you out. And as far as your overall appreciation to kind of expand what you listen to every once in a while. And, you know, we're part of a great network and we'd like to promote other teams and other podcasts. And, you know, at the same time, encourage you to listen to ours whenever you can.
Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison here to tell you Geico has more than just great savings. Much more. Yes, while Geico could help you rack up more moolah faster than you can say metamorphosis, they've also been the fastest growing auto insurer for more than 10 years. That's more like it. Furthermore, Geico has fast and friendly claim service. That might seem like an oxymoron, but it's not. All the more reason to say no other auto insurer has more than Geico. Geico, expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Absolutely. So we're about to wrap this thing up here a little bit, but we would be, we've got to give a little shout out to Craig Sager, who we're recording this on Thursday. He passed away earlier this afternoon after a long fight with cancer. He's 65 years old. Just an unbelievably strong person, a great story of fight. Unfortunately, not a story of survival, even though, he is, his legacy and his impact on the game and the people that he's touched will survive beyond him. And we just wanted to give a shout out to Craig Sager, and he will be missed.
Yeah. You know, one of the greater personalities, like the ones I was talking about in the league, you know, a broadcaster, a guy, a sideline reporter, but one that added a flair and established a connection, not just with the coaches and front offices, but with the teams, you know, the players themselves. These are the stars that everybody wants to see, and he had a chance to talk with them, but they had a chance to talk with him, and they wanted to. They enjoyed having Craig around, and it was a great thing to be able to see that kind of camaraderie and play, not just, you know, in his different, you know, interviews with a guy like Greg Popovich, who's notoriously cranky and things of that sort, but to see, you know, see him interacting with players of all levels. And you know, I'm kind of bummed out about it, to be honest with you, because I just,
yeah, me too.
You know, a lot of people grew up watching him along the sidelines, and you're used to hearing that very familiar voice and seeing those tacky suits of his that were his trademark, and he'll definitely be missed. So, you know, definitely our condolences to the whole Sager family.
And just a quick little aside story before we wrap this up. I was at Game 5 of Warriors Thunder, the Western Conference Finals, last season.
Right.
And that was a game covered by TNT, and it was a game that was the game where the Thunder lost, but they really showed that, okay, this was going to be a series, right? And they pushed that thing to 7 games, and the Warriors eventually came out. But it was a game where I thought that I thought after that game that Thunder were going to win that series. I was wrong, but it was an incredible game, and it was covered by TNT. And before the broadcast even had started in the arena, Craig Sager walks in, kind of just, you know, taking his lap around the court, talking to people and whatever. And I guess people noticed him as soon as he walked. He was wearing a crazy blazer or suit, and of course people notice him. And the spotlight got on him, and Oracle Arena went freaking crazy for him, just cheering him on, chanting Sager, Sager, Sager. And it was like the coolest thing, and people loved him. Like he's a household name for basketball fans. You know, he's part of the identity just as much, or, you know, probably not just as much, but he's like, you know, he's Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, LeBron James, Allen Iverson, these guys that are just like synonymous with basketball. Craig Sager is that too. And it was just a really cool moment, because I just imagine that wasn't the first and last and or only time that happened to him. And so the support that kind of rolled out for him was incredible. So, well, that's all we have for today. Whether you were listening on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher, thank you for listening. You can get in touch with the show on Twitter at Locked On Heat, or by email, where you can send us mailbag questions. We'll be doing our Monday mailbag, so send those over the weekend. Whatever questions you got, that's lockedonheat@gmail.com, where you can send them. And if you're not subscribed already, please do so. Get the podcast automatically every day. Don't forget to subscribe to Locked On Fantasy Basketball, Locked On NBA as well. Then go to iTunes, leave some reviews, say nice things about us. It helps other people discover the show. And if you don't want to rely on the internet for other people to enjoy this, tell them in person, human face-to-face, human interaction. It'll be good for you, trust me. All right, thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes.
Hey, it's Wes again. I wanted to tell you about the Monday Morning Heat Check. Would you enjoy getting a small email, a newsletter from me every Monday morning, where I share the best stories and digital content about the Miami Heat from the week before and for the week ahead? Just a little something to keep you up to speed. There'll be exclusive content from me as well, opinions, analysis, etc., and a few other surprises that I'm still working on along the way. Again, just a little something for you every Monday morning. So if that's something you're interested in, just go to tinyurl.com/Monday Morning Heat Check. That's tinyurl.com/Monday Morning Heat Check, and drop in your email. It's that easy. Now
the know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.